Let's pray together. Holy God, we come to you in the name of Jesus Christ, for you have spoken your word to us and you have given us your Holy Spirit to draw us to the throne of grace. So now we pray that you would give us the ears to hear the word you have to speak to us this morning. Let our hearts be open to receive from you and to feed on you in all that you have to give to us. We make our prayer in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, our gospel reading was supposed to end with one more sentence. I'm going to read it. John chapter 6, verse 35. If you would open your Bibles with me and read along. Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst." This, too, is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Christ.
It was more dramatic, so I saved it for you.
Thank you. Yeah, I appreciate that. Always a servant. Thank you, Daniel. Many of you know I worked for many years in campus ministry, working with college students. One of our core philosophies was, if you feed them, they will come. Playing off the Field of Dreams mantra, but when you're working with poor college students, always bring food. You're not going to have a successful ministry if you don't have food for poor college students. You feed their bodies so that there's the hope that you can feed their souls with the Word of God, with drawing them into a deeper relationship with Jesus. It's a tried and true method because we borrowed it from Jesus himself. Jesus employs this method of feeding people so that they would come and hear the word of God. Last week, or 2 weeks ago, we heard in the Gospel of Mark, the feeding of the 5,000, which is one of the only stories that's in all four Gospels, aside from the resurrection. The feeding of the 5,000 that's always followed by Jesus walking on water is in all four Gospels. So whereas Matthew, Mark, and Luke just have these stories as standalone events, the feeding of the 5,000 and then the walking on the water and then Jesus moves on to other things, the Gospel of John takes these events. Jesus fed 5,000 people, he walked on water, and then he uses it to launch what's called this bread of life discourse in John chapter 6. So our lectionary has taken us from, we've been going through the Gospel of Mark for many months, and now we're taking an interlude into the John chapter 6 for the next 4 weeks to go through this bread of life discourse, where people come to Jesus having been fed miraculously from heaven by a miracle from Jesus. They come wanting more bread. And Jesus offers them something deeper. He offers them the true bread from heaven. "I am the bread of life," he says. "Whoever comes to me shall not hunger. Whoever believes in me shall never thirst." The people come seeking more to fill their bellies, but Jesus knows what our souls truly need. So, to frame our discussion today and looking through this passage in John chapter 6, I want to look at two Greek words that mean the same English word. There are two Greek words for life in the Greek language. There is bios life, there is zoe life. Bios life, you might hear in it, is where we get the word biology. It's about the body, it's life for sustenance, it's life that's existence, it's living, breathing, walking around, plant and animal life, consciousness. Bios life is what most of us experience on a day-to-day basis. But when Jesus says, "I am the bread of life," he's using the Greek word zoe. Zoe is a spiritual life. It is eternal life. It's the abundant life that Jesus has come to give to us. So whereas the people are come seeking more bread, they're seeking bios life, Jesus offers them zoe life. They want the material and the practical benefits of what Jesus offers, but they're missing the deeper truth that these things are actually pointing towards. Because these things are signs. In John's gospel, he calls all of Jesus' miracles signs. They are pointing toward something else, pointing toward the destination, which is Jesus himself. So bios, life in bread that's miraculously given, is pointing toward the Zoe life that is in Jesus himself, eternal life. So I want to use this framing of bios and Zoe as we go through this, this passage. And I've been interested to observe in recent years the renewal of the idea of cultural Christianity as a positive thing in our culture. You have a lot of secularists who are now saying, oh yeah, our society, everything that we know and value is actually built up on Christianity. That the foundations of Western culture are built up on this Christian faith, and it's actually a good thing we don't want to lose. All the things that we value, the worldviews that we cherish, are actually built up on the foundation of Christianity. And a lot of people have been trying to have the kingdom without the king and hold on to the values of Christianity while jettisoning the faith. So you've had more in recent years people waking up to this idea that Christianity is actually a good thing for the world, for the life of the world. Author and historian Tom Holland has been hugely influential in his books detailing how Christianity is so foundational to our culture. And you have people like Jordan Peterson, who's not a believer, but is preaching from the Bible about good morals and good ethics and how to live a virtuous life. You have notorious atheist Richard Dawkins saying, I'm a cultural Christian, and I would hate to lose that. If that were to go away, that would be a loss. The atheist says that. And ultra-rich weirdo Elon Musk recently said that the United States culture is built on the principles of Christianity, and those are a good thing, and we shouldn't lose that. We should fight to keep those. So you've got a lot of these people who are waking up to the reality of the temporal and societal benefits of Christianity, the good principles for life and living and culture that are part of this faith. There's a consistent and just ethic upholding the dignity of all people. There's a foundation of a good society, principles for healthy living and relationships. These are all good things that are meant to point us toward the best thing. My point is that these cultural benefits of Christianity that people are starting to recognize more and more, they are bios life. They are temporal goods that are good, but they're perishing. They're fading away. They are a sign to us of the Zoe life, the deeper life, that which Jesus actually offers us, something better, something deeper, something more lasting, and what our souls were truly made for. So Jesus today, I think, wants us to move from seeking out bios life and all of its benefits to seeking Zoe life, eternal life, moving from sign to destination. That's why Jesus says in verse 27, he says to the people, do not work for the food that perishes, that's bios food, but work for the food that endures to eternal life, Zoe. Jesus says, there's something deeper I'm holding out for you, a bread more lasting, more eternal, that satisfies more deeply and sustains more fully than this bread, this bios life bread. Work for this food, Jesus says, the eternal food. Put all of your efforts into seeking after this food that lasts unto eternity. And he says, this is the food that the Son of Man will give to you. In the latter half of verse 27, the Son of Man will give this to you. He's the only one who can give the Zoe life, the eternal life. And he makes a promise to us. He will give us that life. So the people are intrigued by this. realizing Jesus is talking about something deeper. He says, they say, what must we do to be doing the works of God? In verse 28, they zero in on Jesus' admonition to work for this food that endures to eternity. How do we get this food? What are we lacking right now? What do we need to accomplish in order to claim this Zoe life for ourselves? And Jesus' answer in verse 29 is this. This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent. That's the only work necessary, is to believe. That faith is the only work necessary to receive that bread that endures to eternity, that fills us with the Zoe life, as opposed to any of the works of the law, any of the conformities to rules or regulations or behavior standards. All that's needed to lay claim on the bread of heaven, the true Zoe life that Jesus gives, is to believe, to have faith, to put our trust in him. They say, okay, well, what sign are you going to give for this? We need some more evidence for this remarkable claim that you have made here. What sign are you going to give? As if Jesus hasn't already given them a miraculous sign with the feeding of the 5,000. As if he hasn't already done this miracle of multiplication. They want more. They're demanding more evidence, more proof. And they point towards their ancestors who ate bread from heaven in the wilderness. That was our Old Testament lesson and our psalm. The people who were grumbling in the wilderness against Moses and against God, saying, it would be better for us to return to slavery, because at least there we had food. And God, in the face of their grumbling, graciously provides for them, graciously gives to them bread from heaven. They're saying, God gave us a sign back in the day with bread, just like you gave bread. What are you going to do to show that you are who you say you are, that this is true? But even that miraculous gift, that bread from heaven, it was a gift that could only satisfy temporarily. It fed the bios life in them. But the bread from heaven, the manna, was always meant to be a sign towards something to come. And the feeding of the 5,000, that too was a miraculous provision that fed the bios life, but was a sign pointing towards something better. Jesus says to them, here's the sign. My Father gives you true bread from heaven. True bread, not that the feeding of the 5,000 or the manna from heaven was false, but that these were signs pointing toward the true bread, the Zoe-giving bread that is Jesus himself. This is the sign for you, what the Father gives. In verse 33, he says this, for the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. You hear the weird structure of that sentence? The bread of God is he who comes down from heaven. The bread of God is not an it. The bread of God is not a thing. The bread of heaven, the bread from God, the Zoe life-giving bread that the Father sends, isn't really bread. It's a person. It's not more food for your stomach. It's not just even the gifts of God doled out to you out of his love. It's not a transaction that God is making with you of, you give me love, I'll give you grace. You give me obedience, I'll give you forgiveness. It's not a thing that can be passed out and consumed by you and me. The bread of God is a person. It's Jesus himself. And so eternal life, this Zoe life, is found in a relationship with this person that God sends from heaven to give life to the world. Jesus himself is the sign. He is the bread of God, the true bread. And so the people, you kind of see the progression in their understanding and their grasping what Jesus is talking about. They're saying, okay, give us this bread, always. We see that you're talking about something qualitatively different than what we were initially seeking. Give us this bread always. We want that. They're finally starting to see and understanding that Jesus is holding something out to them different. But still, even still, they're asking for it as if it's something that Jesus can give apart from himself. Give us this gift. And Jesus is saying, no, you still don't understand. He goes on, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger. Whoever believes in me shall never thirst. The bread of life is not a thing that I give to you. It's me. Come to me and be satisfied. This is the Zoe life that feeds us eternally, that satisfies us wholly. It's Jesus himself. The food that endures that he promised he would give, that true bread from heaven that the Father sends. Jesus isn't here to give you a gift and with an itemized receipt that says, well, you get loaves and fishes. You get forgiveness of your sins. You get grace to deal with this challenge you're going through. You get meaningful relationships. He's not doling out gifts. He's giving himself. He is the bread of life. It's him, and all that he offers to us is all that he is. The bread of life is him, not his gifts. So what I want to get at here is that God gives us so many blessings, so many gifts that are bios life. They are temporary. They are good. They are life-giving. They are meaningful. But they are signs pointing us to the deeper truth that Jesus gives himself. And so when we come to Jesus for his benefits, for the principles for living or the ethics of a just society, when we come to him for the experience of freedom and a new life, for the relationships we have in a godly church community, all of these are good things. All of these Jesus gives us graciously. But he wants to give you even more. These things are not ends in and of themselves. They are pointing you toward the greatest end, the bread of life, the Zoe life, Jesus himself, who's holding himself out to you. That's why in this church, we don't preach from the pulpit about principles for living. You might have been in some other churches at times where you'll go through a series about marriage or dealing with conflict, and those are good things, and we'll do teaching about those things, but we preach Christ crucified for us because he is the bread of life. He is the true gift that is given for us. We don't come to him just for his benefits. We come to him for him. For all that he is, all that he offers to us, we come to him and receive all of him. And often he gives us these good gifts, longing for us to seek out more, longing for us to seek out the eternal life that he gives us in his own body and blood, in a relationship with him. So, yes, Christianity has many benefits to our life. It does create well-ordered families and meaningful relationships. The ethics of Christianity are foundational to what it means to be human and how to have a just society. It does provide a sense of purpose and meaning that goes beyond our circumstance. Absolutely, those are all good things and true things about our faith. But these things in themselves will not give us true life, abundant life, life unto eternity. These benefits are bios life for us. They are great blessings, great benefits. But Jesus himself is the bread of life, the Zoe life, Whoever comes to me shall not hunger. Whoever believes in me shall never thirst. This is what our hearts are always longing for. This is what we were made for, life in Jesus. Our souls are made for Jesus, for a relationship with Him, not just to benefit from all the gifts and the blessings that He gives. We were made for Him. And everything that our hearts are restlessly longing for find their rest in Him, find their purpose in Him. And what is the work of God that we must do to enter into this relationship? Is just believe. To put our faith in Jesus. To receive Him, not just His works, but to receive Him. So I want to close by asking us all this question. Why are you a Christian? Why are you a Christian? I want to encourage you to sit with that question this week and bring it to prayer. Are you a Christian because of the temporal benefits? Maybe because this is what you've always known. Maybe because it's insurance against eternal damnation. Are you a Christian because it's socially beneficial? And to be clear, I'm not asking this to make any of us feel bad, because all of those things are true, and all of those things are good things. Jesus pours out these good things to us because He loves us. But He's holding out even more for you. These good things are pointing you toward the best thing, which is Jesus Himself. The gift of bios life is pointing us toward the fullness of zoe life that is in Jesus Himself. And at the end of the day, I'll speak for myself. I want to say that I'm a Christian because I have tasted and seen that the Lord Himself is good. That I have feasted on the bread of life that He has given Himself to me and for the life of the world. I want to say that I'm a Christian because the bread of life has given Himself to me and has laid claim on me. And there is life and hope and truth in no one else. Nowhere else can it be found. This chapter ends, that we'll get to in a few weeks, with people encountering a hard teaching and leaving Jesus. And Peter says to his disciples, "Will you go too?" And Peter says, "You have the words of eternal life. Where else can we go? You are the Zoe life, Jesus. Where else can we turn? In Him we find our fullest satisfaction. In Him we find what our souls were made for." Jesus says, "Whoever comes to me shall not hunger. Whoever believes in me shall never thirst." Jesus, the bread of life, offers Himself to you and to me. Come to Him and believe. In a few minutes, when you receive the communion wafer in your hand and on your lips and into your stomach, you're going to hear words like, "This is the body of Christ, the bread of heaven, given for you." Will you receive that blessing in faith today? Will you believe that Jesus is actually giving Himself for you, to feed you, to fill you? And all that our call is to come to Him and believe in Him. To feed on the bread of life that was broken for us, and there to find our souls satisfied in Him. Let's pray together. Jesus, You are so good to us. You are so gracious to give us all the blessings that you pour out upon us in our daily life. You have blessed us so abundantly with truth, with love, with purpose, with a community of faith, with principles for how we are to live and who we were meant to be. You are so good to us, Jesus. And we pray that our eyes and our hearts will be open to the deeper life that you still invite us into. That you call us to yourself. That you give us your body and your blood to feast upon as the only thing that will satisfy our souls. Give us faith, Lord. Help us to believe and to come to you and receive you by faith with thanksgiving. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.